Blog Talk Radio. This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. It's great to be here with you today. What a beautiful day out here in Southern California, and I have a very special guest. Her name is Patty Sisko, who writes under the pen name of Elizabeth Silva. As she talks about her memoir, Another Cheesy Family Newsletter, Patty is really passionate. She's an advocate for public education, for those with autism, for improved mental health, and for families dealing with addiction and alcoholism. Her desire is to make the world a better place through her influence and experience as a counselor, writer, and most importantly, as a mother and grandmother. Welcome to the show, Patty. It's so good to have you here today.
Thanks, Mari. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So tell us a little bit about the story of how you came to be an advocate for all these things and so passionate about helping people.
Well, in kind of a roundabout way, I started writing and really got interested in it when I was in high school, and I was in a really great journalism class, very special class, and then when I went to college, I majored in English and minored in journalism, and then I became an English teacher, got my master's in counseling, and then veered off a little bit. I was a high school counselor for 25 years.
Wow.
And then after I retired from counseling, I became a writer unintentionally after I retired. I had written all along just for my own personal satisfaction, but I entered a piece in what was called a Community Voices program for the Dallas Morning News. And it was accepted. And following that, several of the pieces that I wrote were accepted and published. And, you know, as a published author, you get positive emails and encouragement, and that kind of hooks you on writing. And I discovered that I could really write stuff that people like to read. And I didn't really think about writing a book until I was sitting there writing my annual holiday newsletter. And it dawned on me one day that you know how you write everybody for years and years, people that you don't even see and haven't seen for years. And I thought about the ones that hadn't seen us for years, and I thought, you know, these people have no idea what's really going on in my family, because you don't want to tell them all the things that are, you know, the chaos that's really going on in the family, because it's Christmas.
Right.
So, you know, all you tell them is your kids are rocket scientists and we vacationed in Bali and my pets are perfect and that sort of thing, and they don't really know what's going on. So that's where the idea spawned for the book. And but I didn't have all the newsletters. So when my mother died, I was going through all of her things and found all my newsletters. I hadn't saved them. And so I started on it. I copied the newsletters, and then I just started writing what really happened. And it just wrote itself.
It's awesome. You know, I love the concept of, because I remember writing those newsletters, even with photographs, you know. As things got more accelerated, you could put photos in it. And,
and
it was like, my gosh, you know, and everything sounds so perfect. Because, again, you're not going to tell them. It's Christmas. You're not going to tell them all the down news. But it's also this little phoniness in it. You know, there's some phoniness in it. It's not for real.
Oh, sure.
And so I love love what you've done. So let's talk a little bit about authenticity then, since you really did step into authenticity on this. What role did that play mm-hmm. for you in it, Patty?
In writing the book or writing the newsletter?
Yeah, just in all of it. In writing the book and reading the newsletters probably as you read them over, right?
Well, the newsletters were really kind of euphemistic. And they were true. What they said was true. But I just left out the things that were unpleasant. Mm-hmm. And, if I said my middle daughter lived in an apartment, I didn't say that she lived in an apartment because she'd just gotten a divorce.
Right.
So what I said was true, but I left the unpleasant things out. But
mm-hmm.
and there were usually a whole lot of unpleasant things going on. So mm-hmm. it sounded like everything was really, really smooth, and it wasn't.
Okay.
So in that sense, I wasn't being authentic, but the book was very, very authentic.
Very good. And so what makes you so passionate? You do so many wonderful things. You're such a great advocate. What makes you so passionate about all that?
Well, I've just always been that way. I've always wanted to help other people and animals. And, you know, I think I followed my mother's lead with that character trait. You know, I was the kid mm-hmm. that always dragged a stray dog home and, and my kids are all like that too. I became a teacher. I was lucky. I don't know if you're as old as I am, but back in the day, that was one of the very few choices we had, and I was lucky. I liked it. But mm-hmm. as a teacher and a counselor for over 39 years, I devoted a huge chunk of my life to helping teenagers through every kind of crisis you can think of. Some of them were little, but some of them were mm-hmm. very, very serious. And I don't know what drew me to that particular profession, because a lot of days I'd go home just completely washed out. But I think it might have been because my own childhood was pretty chaotic. I grew up with a very selfish, narcissistic father. He was an alcoholic. He was bipolar. He was never happy. Even when he was on meds and not drinking, he wasn't happy. He was very negative. And I was an only child, and we moved around a lot because he was in the military. So,
okay.
You know, there was a degree of instability in my life. And then when I was 9, we lived in the Aleutian Islands, and the sun never shines there. The weather is very, very harsh. The terrain is harsh. There are no trees, no flowers.
Wow.
My dad was in a really bad place there. He was drinking a lot, fighting with people. He was picking on my mother nonstop. And while we were there, we were in the epicenter of an 8.6 earthquake. And
wow.
And as a child, it sent me off the rails. And you know, at that time, parents didn't send kids to therapy or, you know, take care of mm-hmm. their emotional needs. And kids don't know how to express themselves when they go through things like that. So
right.
I woke up for years thinking the bed was shaking, the world was ending, having ridiculous fears, and there was nobody to help me. So I think that may have had something to do with the reason that I went into, you know, wanted to help kids.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense. And it had to be terrifying to go through that. And like you say, I grew up the same way. There was no you took care of the needs of the child, you know, food, clothing, shelter, right? Sent them to school,
yeah.
Make sure they were clean, all
right.
That kind of stuff. But there wasn't that much known about that, first of all, and a lot of people didn't believe in it. So you actually suffered a trauma back then is what it was. But I love that instead of making you a fearful person who doesn't want to do anything, it kind of catapulted you to become a helper of these children and now an advocate for so many different people. That's absolutely beautiful. Wonderful. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah. So as I think about your newsletter and you wanting to step into your authenticity by writing another cheesy family newsletter, what would you say to someone who maybe is realizing in their life there's some kind of a disconnect between who they really are and who they portray themselves as, you know? And this person is, maybe they're listening now and they're wanting to step into their authenticity, but they don't know where to begin. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, I think it helps to keep a journal and just write anything they want to write, any thought that comes to their mind. But I also think that they should not be afraid to ask for help. And men especially seem to feel like asking for help is a weakness. And they stay emotionally bottled up. And because of that, I feel sorry for them because they're unable to really get it all out there and, you know, be all that you can be, you know. But that's the first thing I would encourage them to do is just get some help. Don't be afraid of it. Don't think you're weak because you do it. Just get out there and get some help.
I like that. It sounds simplistic, but it's not. And like you say, there's a lot of things to overcome for men and for women. Many of us have been taught in our families of origin that we don't need help, right? That we don't want help, that we can handle it ourselves, you know? It's our family, we'll take care of it. So those are really wise words, Patty. I love that. And, yeah. So what do you think the main message that you want to bring to the public is?
Well, I have a bunch. I mean, I'm really big into public education. I think it's being attacked these days. I'm huge on autism because I'm raising a child with autism. Well, he's not a child; he's 17, but my grandson has autism. But one of my most fervent crusades is. Well, it's two things, mental health and addiction, because many times the two of them go hand in hand. Because a lot of people with mental health disorders abuse drugs and alcohol because they're self-treating their mental health disorder. Or they're treated, their mental health disorder is treated in the wrong way and results in addiction. So I'm really, really adamant about putting out the message that your brain's an organ. It's just like your heart, your lungs, your pancreas. It's just like all your other organs. And just like one of those organs, your brain can go haywire, just like one of those. And the difference in that is that your brain behaves different. It makes you behave differently. And you don't have any control over that any more than you can control your pancreas when it stops producing insulin, you know, when you have diabetes. We've got to stop thinking that a mental health disorder is a character flaw. You know, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, if you're hearing strange things, that you have control over that, and if you just think hard enough that you can do something about it. And we still think that way.
Yeah.
Our society still thinks that you can do something about that if you just try hard enough. And I really, really, really want to push the message that to parents to listen to their kids. You know, if your kid goes through a trauma, get help for them. They may act like nothing's wrong, but you need to be proactive and get them the help that they need.
Yeah. I really like the part about, I never heard it put that way before, Patty, that your brain is an organ, and if there is, obviously there's something not going right in there. Something's not firing properly, but for some reason society doesn't look at it that way, but that makes it so clear. Just like you say, your pancreas isn't working, you go to the doctor, you get medicine, you take insulin, whatever it is you have to do, and your body gets back, you know, where it needs to be. But with the brain, because it makes us behave differently, it's a whole other thing. But I love that message. That's a really core message that you're giving, and I think it's wonderful. Excellent. So we're going to take a quick break. If you want to call in and ask Patty a question, you are welcome to do so at 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Cecile. Law of Attraction coach for women who expect more from life. Let me guide you into your journey of becoming the best version of yourself and help you create a life on your own terms with the Law of Attraction. Go to thelovecoach.com, that's L-O-A-V-E, to kickstart your manifesting journey with my free offers and follow me on Instagram and Facebook at thelovecoach for your daily inspiration boost.
Hi, my name is Nelson Brown, and I am a student, author, environmentalist, philanthropist, entrepreneur, and minister in the making. Check out The Beauty in Us, Our Reality, my first book in my book series entitled The Beauty in Us, about body positivity and self-acceptance from a male's perspective. Check it out to see how I struggled with my self-image growing up. Check it out on Amazon today in a paperback and ebook format, and follow me on all of my social media platforms at Nelson E. Brown on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Do you enjoy stirring and realistic fiction? Check out author and veteran Paul Holbert's work at literaryvet.net for intriguing books that will keep you turning pages. Paul uses his experiences to create novels that are true to life, such as his latest, Term Limits, a political crime thriller fitting for today's time and events. Go to literaryvet.net, a read you won't want to miss.
A new novel that could prevent bullying in schools and avert future school shootings. Saving Grace, A Troubled School by Vivian Chass. For teens and young adults. Available on Amazon and Kindle and paperback. For more information on the author, visit her website at www.truthandpc.com or you can email her at vivianchass2018@gmail.com. That's vivianchass2018@gmail.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I have special guest Patty Sisko, who is a passionate advocate for public education, those with autism, improved mental health, and she's the author under the pen name of Elizabeth Silva of Another Cheesy Family Newsletter. Let's talk about your book more in depth, Patty. Tell us a little bit more. You told us about why you wrote it and how it got started, but tell us a little bit about what the reader can expect.
Well, the reader can expect just about everything. There's a little bit of suspense. There's some humor.
Okay.
There's some sadness. The letters are funny. You know, they have a lot of funny stories in them. I go back a lot into my family because I'm a strong believer that a good deal of mental illness is genetic. I can trace my dad's mental illness back to, you know, in his family, and it has trickled down through my family, but through myself. I have depression. My daughter, my granddaughter has panic disorder, eating disorder. You know, I really believe that it's genetic. There's some environmental factors, but I really think families should be aware of that. So I talk a lot about the family history and some funny stories. I try to balance the humor with the darkness because there is a lot of darkness. And some of the feedback that I've gotten is from people who say, I just can't, I had difficulty getting through this because I was very honest about some really, really hard times. You know, my daughter OD'd several times. I went into detail on those times and how hard it was as parents, you know, sitting there waiting for the call that she was dead. She had three children who had to be withdrawn from drugs. And I raised those kids. I've still got a couple of them. And then a couple of the reviews said they just wanted to slap me for being such a doormat. Because I did learn through really through writing the book as much as anything that I was a horrible enabler. And that a lot of the things that I did just made her worse. And there's a huge lesson to be learned, you know, for any family that has addiction in the family, or especially parents that have addiction in the family, about support and enabling, because what I've learned is that, you know, when you support somebody, you're helping them to become independent. But when you enable somebody, you're helping them to depend on you. And that's what I was doing. So I wasn't doing anybody any favors. And so anyway, a lot of people have told me they've laughed and they've cried. It's a quick read. Several people have told me they've read it in one sitting. And a lot of people have told me they've thought, you know, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And that's why they've read it in one sitting.
Right.
And I've gotten a lot of compliments on my writing style. So I think it's a good book. I mean, I've gotten a lot of really good reviews.
That's great. You know,
a lot of people have said it has helped them. A lot of people have told me that it has helped them. That means more to me than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I love that you say that as you wrote the book, you learned so much. That's happened to me in my writing as an author. As authors, as we get things down on paper and we begin to polish them, we begin to see things clearly, like you said. You didn't know you were being an enabler, right? You did the best you could. This was your daughter. But as we write and we put things out and we're truthful, because this is a truthful, honest book, Patty, that's why I chose you for the show, we begin to see things. Things come into clarity for us. And I'm certain that as people read your book, and that's why you say people have been helped, they also begin to see things more clearly. Because when we step outside and see something else, plus you see somebody else going through something that you've been going through. And for some reason, no matter how much we know that other people go through it, it's kind of like we don't believe it. We think we're the only ones suffering through this. At least that's the way I've felt in my life.
Sure. You can't be objective. Yeah.
Right. Right, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about how to get a hold of you and your book.
Well, it's on Amazon. All you have to do is put another cheesy family newsletter in the bar, and they can find it on Amazon. It's both in paperback and an ebook. They can go on my website, which is ElizabethSilvaWriter.com, and my Facebook page is at LizSilva47. And both of those have a link that goes straight to the Amazon site as well.
Okay, great. So Patty is writing under the pen name of Elizabeth Silva, S-I-L-V-A. So that's where you found her book. And you can also find her on my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. Just go to the radio show page and click on there, and she's there with her picture, a link to her book, and also a link to this interview, which I hope you'll pass along. So many good things being brought up by Patty. So is there one last thing that you wanted to say to a listener? You've said really wonderful things, really good wisdom, but is there something else that might be on your heart that you just want to say today?
Well, I think I think I've said a whole lot, but and I'm sure that everybody's really tired of listening. But I think that the most important thing is no matter what you think you know, you can always learn more. And and I've always found that to be true. And I think I know a lot, but you can always learn a whole lot more.
That's so true, Patty. We have to be teachable, you know. If you get to the point where you think you know everything, then you're shutting yourself off from all these new things. I tend to learn something new almost every day. I agree with you. There's so much more to learn or to see a different perspective of something I thought was a certain way, you know,
right.
That happened to you, where you're looking at something from one perspective, then all of a sudden you see it from another, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I didn't even realize that.
And hopefully not just on Facebook.
That's right. A lot of things on Facebook as well. So you did say that in the writing of your book, one of the things you discovered is that you had been an enabler in the past. And so was there anything else that you discovered about yourself in the writing?
Well, I discovered a whole lot of things. I discovered why I have panic attacks. I didn't even realize until I wrote the book, I made the connection for why I had PTSD as a kid. I wrote a whole chapter about the earthquake and everything that happened in Adak. I had never made that connection and how it linked because I have sleep terrors, and I'm sure that it links to the anxiety and the sleep terrors that I have as an adult.
Right.
Because my neurologist kept telling me he thought I was having seizures and kept doing EEGs and so on, and I just kept saying, I think this is all anxiety, and I'm convinced that's what it is. So, yeah, and I mean, it revealed a lot of things to me. It just as I went along, a little light went on. So I would recommend it to anybody. I'm going to do another one, a sequel.
Oh, you are? Okay. Awesome.
Yes.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Are you working
on it already? And my granddaughter and I are, she's doing illustration. She's a gifted artist for a children's book, too.
Oh, fantastic. Very nice. So they have something to look forward to. Well, it's been lovely. Such a pleasure having you on the show, Patty. Thank you so much for all your words of wisdom. And, you know, one of the things that's coming back to me is when you first started the show, you said, journal. Take out and begin to journal. And I encourage you to do that. If you're going through things, journal. Get those thoughts out on paper because that begins to give you your clarity. And thank you so much for being with us on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Make sure you pass along this interview. There's a replay available immediately. Have a great rest of your day and join us back for Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
I sure will. Thank you, Mari.
Thank you, Patty.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. Broadcasting live from Southern California.